If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned, and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4,146. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and my cock. And to our men's room. On tap today, we celebrate Dead Air on a Bad Choice Friday.
Yeah.
The return of Ted versus the FCC. Plus headlines, a men's room shot of the day, fundable listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Click. Clack.
Bring it to drunk. All right, here we go. Drunk FedEx driver delivers a power outage to one Pennsylvania town. Meanwhile, a cruise ship leaves a family in Alaska to stare at moose and walk around. Florida man tries to take selfie with a depressed bear, a $20,000 bottle of salsa that won't be shared. And one beach sees many tourists, or tortoises, popping their heads out of their shells. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, there's a saying that everyone's familiar with. F around and find out. Now, to be clear, this is not a suggestion. It is, in fact, a warning. It's a very succinct explanation that if you pursue a certain course of action, it will end poorly for you. Case in point, the endless cycle of stories that we hear about tourists at Yellowstone Park who just can't resist the urge to pet the bison, in spite of the numerous warnings not to do so. But then they do it anyway. And then they get gored and stomped or headbutted. But believe it or not, the primary tourist killer in Yellowstone doesn't involve idiots petting bison. It's idiots ignoring the warnings about putting their body parts into thermal springs. In fact, the thermal springs have taken out 20 people. And it's not just Yellowstone that idiots see. It turns out it is an international epidemic. Last week, a Spaniard on safari in Africa, he wanted to get a close-up picture of a herd of elephants. But instead of using his telephoto lens on his camera, he got out of the vehicle, approached the herd on foot, and was promptly trampled to death. That's why the safari park has a policy that asks that you don't do that. And he was verbally asked not to do so. But he effed around, and he found out. And it's not just animals that bring out our inner idiot. A guy in Kansas City, he ignored both the warning arms and the flashing lights at a railroad crossing. Guess what happened? Yeah, he died, because it turns out a train really was coming, and it hit his car that he was in. Now, my favorite story, it involves a professional diver. Now, she was offended that a water slide in Austria said for men only. Well, she wasn't one to be kept down, so she went down that water slide and pretty much ripped her vagina apart after water funneled directly into it at 50 miles an hour. Turns out that the men only thing was to protect the women's bajingas. They were not being sexist. They said, this is what's going to happen. To her credit, she says as soon as she started sliding down, she realized she effed up. That's a quote. But look, not everything has to be that extreme. As we go through life, there are things you discover that maybe you just shouldn't do. Like for me, I'm not an electrician. I'm not going to mess around with electricity. Nothing good is going to happen to me. Nicotine. That's right, I've been smoking for decades now. Wish I wasn't, but I am. Don't get in a fight with someone who you know has cauliflower ears. They've been around the block before, and they're going to beat your ass. But the one thing I remember most, do not consume cheap booze and plastic bottles. Absolutely nothing good is going to happen as a result. But like I said, we all live and learn, and that's what we want to talk about today. Maybe you will have some sage advice for all the other listeners out there when you answer this question. Based on experience, what do you know not to F with?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
Hey, it's Morgan Abshire.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
All the jollies, away we go. Welcome to season 19, episode number 4,146. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat on this oh-so-positive Friday. Positive. The exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. We go for round two with our listener Brian's Ted versus the FCC. Ted put one in the loss column last week, so we'll give that one another shot. New rule on Ted versus the FCC. We do the riddle three times, and if Ted doesn't get it, we briefly retire it.
Yes.
And then bring it back at the end of the year to see if Ted can finally get one right. So try number two in Brian's Ted versus the FCC coming up. What else do we have for you today? More updated locations on the Men's Room IPA from Black Brewing. Black Raven Brewing.
Yeah, brother.
Exactly. Oh, a brand new Men's Room Happy Hour is out now exclusively on Odyssey and the Odyssey app. How do you get the brand new once a week Happy Hour podcast? You simply subscribe to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. It shows up for you on Friday morning.
Boom.
It is just that easy. So if you have not subscribed yet to the Men's Room Daily Podcast, do so now, and you'll be able to check out the happy hour over the weekend or whenever you get some time. Oh, what else do we got going on today? Oh, yeah, it's the whole weekend thing. We will drink and toast with a shot of the day that it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Come on. And today we celebrate Dead Air on a Bad Choice Friday. What is Dead Air? It's every radio person's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
The things that you that keep you up at night, believe it or not, you will have dreams about Dead Air and the fact that you can't seem to get the radio station back on the air. Whether you messed up, spilled a Coca-Cola in the board. Whether you've locked yourself out on a roof. There's all kinds of things that you can do where the threat is, oh no, dead air. Even sometimes when you go to the bathroom and you think it's just going to be this short little trip, and then all of a sudden, oh no, I need to sit down.
Maybe you have the monitor turned down because you're watching TV.
And you don't know what's going on.
But as long as you can lie to your boss and say, I know nothing about it, it's just water under the bridge.
And sometimes it is completely out of your control. And it happened to us along with a number of other very important things in this world that got shut down. It wasn't just radio, folks. A global technology outage, grounded flights, knocked banks offline and media outlets off the air in a massive disruption that affected companies and services around the world. Cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike said the issue believed to be behind the outage was not a security incident or a cyber attack. and that a fix was on the way. Company said the problem occurred when it deployed a faulty update to computers that are running Microsoft Windows. Hours after the problem was first detected, the disarray continued, then it escalated. At SeaTac, travelers have been waiting in heavy lines. According to FlightWare, 177 flights were delayed at SeaTac. 59 were canceled as of 12:45 this afternoon.
Our buddy Glenn Cannon, I did not know, we're an Apple family at home, so I don't know anything about the Microsoft stuff. And my wife's reading either a tweet or an Instagram post from Glenn Cannon. And basically, he is sitting on a plane, and at this point that he sends this out, said, I've been sitting on the tarmac in a plane for the last hour. The pilot said there's some technical thing going on, but here's the bad part. He said our next update will be in 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
Mm. Yeah.
At Painfield and Everett, they said the outage is affecting airline operations across the globe, but check with Alaska Air for info regarding your flight. If you are up in Everett, there's only four gates. It'd be like, just go. Just get on the plane.
Yeah.
Just find a seat. We'll get there. That would be my thing, man. We're all flying someplace. There's like 40 of us, 50 of us. I'd huddle us all together and go like, all right, look, I don't remember what seat I'm in. If you're in first class, you probably already know that.
Sure.
You guys, let's unless you know exactly, let's just go find some seats, man. Let's just get on this plane.
Let's get on this plane.
Let's get on this plane.
If I'm in the airport, I don't care. As long as the bar's open, good to go. Yep. The fact that these people were stuck on a plane and your pilot says, we'll give you an update an hour and a half from now.
Sure.
Hang tight.
Now, radio, obviously very important, but there's some lesser things that also were affected by this outage, including the University of Washington Medical Center and Harborview Medical Center.
Oh, they're fine.
They were impacted. They're fully operational. Same with Seattle Children's, Virginia Mason, Franciscan Health, Providence, Swedish MultiCare Health System. All said they were affected, but hopefully everything will get back to normal. We went off the air, I want to say, last night. What did they say, 10-ish? 11?
Like 10 to 4 or
something?
At 10
o'clock in the morning. Or 10 o'clock in the evening,
yep.
And then we did not get back on until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Are we still running repeats of the Men's Room show at 10 o'clock at night? We are. Oh, we are so sorry that you happened to miss that spectacular replay of yesterday's show at 10 o'clock.
I worked real hard on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I censored a lot of stuff.
Well, and I mean, the text between us four was just going nuts. It was wild. We did everything we could from home.
Actually, we had no idea because Steve and I, we both have Apple products.
So you don't know.
So nothing in our home was affected.
So you guys are living in 2005.
Okay? We're living in 2005.
Yeah, in a different world.
Where stuff works, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we had no idea until we came in today. And the place was in a frenzy. I saw Ron from the Wolf Morning Show, and he was walking down the hall. He's shaking his head. I'm like, what's wrong with you? It's Friday, man. It's payday. He's like, man, you don't know? And I'm like, no, I don't know. And he goes, oh, yeah, man, complete power outage. The stations were down. Crap show. We couldn't get our the phones were all messed up. Fortunately for us, by the time that we got on the air today, all that stuff was cleared up. So
yeah, Sarah from the morning show, she walks by me today and say, hey, happy Friday. Always positive, always upbeat, right? Always, all the time. Then she's like, oh, hey, listen, man, the computers suck.
Right, yeah.
It's like, oh, wow.
And as bad as things are in here, like we have horrible bosses like Ryan Castle and stuff, but our IT department is stellar. So Patrick and Phil, they took care of all the problems. By the time I got in, our computers were working. So thank you for that. Yeah. We really appreciate that.
The computer I used to edit up some audio and put stuff in is not working.
Is it still not?
Still not. And he was like, well, it could take a little bit. And finally I said, no sweat. I'll just make Mike do it.
Easy enough. We have solutions to all these problems.
I was like, seriously, man, no pressure.
Right. So since we got our power knocked out and a bunch of problems in here, we decided to celebrate dead air on a Bad Choice Friday with LL Cool J. LL Cool J and Mama Said Knock You Out, as in the power, taking on Jay-Z on a Bad Choice Friday. 99 problems, but a hit me. 99 problems, but a ain't one. Actually, it's 99.9 problems here.
And a glitch ain't one.
Yeah.
A glitch ain't one, yeah.
This song is not for our station, Ted. It's for one of our sister stations where I don't know that we can say
he
that
won't
word on there.
Play bitch on that station.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, hold on. Hot doesn't play bitch.
I guess not. I don't know. I mean, I could look for it. I could try to find it, but I think this is the clean version, technically.
Well, obviously, if you're going to get rid of bitch.
Because he doesn't just say bitch. Like, there's a lot of words that need to be bleeped out in there. Like,
but
I
the bitch ain't one.
He
even says it. The bitch ain't one.
I'm confused. You can't say bitch, but you can give away Chris Brown tickets at 4:15. You understand that correctly? Who draws the line over there, Powers? we have a talk in the hallway. I have questions. I don't understand the format maybe as well as I should.
Fair question.
I'm shocked they bleeped out that. But I mean, I guess it is for soccer moms.
I guess. Okay, yeah. Right.
Fair enough.
I don't know about your experience with soccer moms. Brother, I would tell you, they got worse mouths than
kids learn
anybody.
Kids learn more just with their mom at the wheel than language-wise than they ever would in school.
I mean, my God, man. My wife gets together with her friends, and I mean, one glass of wine in, and I'm like, seriously, guys. Like, seriously. Right. What is wrong with your mouths?
As our question today on a positive Friday based on...
I see it works.
Yeah. Based on experience, what do you know not to F with? Whether you've just heard this throughout your lives and you trust that information and you know, hey, look, man, don't touch. Or whether it's something that, you know, has happened to you personally where you know not to mess with something or a lot of people just won't do something else again.
Sure. I mean, I think the first thing, you know, your parents will explain a lot of things to you. And of course, you don't listen and then you hurt yourself. But typically, you don't have to repeat it. Like, you have to go through the process with both kids. Do not touch this. This is hot. The problem is there's no way to explain what hot is until they touch something. Both kids at some point ignored me in their younger days. They touched something. They grabbed their hand real quick. And I just turned around and looked at them and said, okay, first of all, do not cry about it because I literally just said this to you. But now that you know what hot is, will you do it again? And neither one of them does it. Kids learning how to walk. People put up child gates and all that. Took them a little longer to walk. Told my wife, let's get rid of the child gates. We had carpeted stairs at the time. And it was only like six stairs, turned a corner. I was like, let their ass figure it out. Within about 2 minutes of moving the child gate, I heard my daughter. She's laying at the bottom of the stairs crying. She was fine. Never happened again. I go, this is how you learn. My dad, when he's teaching us to ride a bike, he said, look. When you need to brake, you got to pedal backwards. And kids struggle with bikes. I get it. But he did not put us on a helmet. There were no knee pads. He did not chase after us.
Right.
He just kind of pushed us. I picked it up quickly. My brother did not learn so well. So he just stopped riding bikes. But he learned that. But then other things, as I get older, I'm like, look, when there is a warning label on a product, just heed its advice.
Because basically, this has happened.
This has happened.
This has happened.
This is why they
have. And that, there's a reason it says contents, this coffee is hot, or whatever the deal is. You will know. And speaking of stairs, there was a comment that basically said, hey, don't ever be on your phone looking at your phone and walk down the stairs.
Yeah.
Based on his own personal experience. Now, I have fallen down the stairs before without being on my phone. I take my time on the stairs. Some people say, hey, look, man, you think it's a joke? Hold on to the handrail. Richard Simmons, he wasn't old enough to die. The reason he died was because he slipped in the bathtub. Now, Ted and I have always talked about the fact that since we live alone, we have a paranoia of slipping in the bathtub. When I get out of the bathtub, I take more time and I'm so ginger about it and how I do it to secure myself to make sure there's no way I'm going to fall. He fell in his bathroom, did not feel well, hit his head or whatever he did, went to bed, and basically did not wake up.
Bob Saget.
Bob Saget is the same exact way.
But in both instances, someone said, you should go see a doctor. There's a reason why people say that. They said, I'll be all right. And then they died.
Yeah. And some aren't the biggest of deals. I remember, Steve, at one point in time, we were in Baltimore, and I don't know what the deal was, we were talking about, whatever, but you said, hey, don't ever touch a black woman's hair.
Yeah. Don't do it, man.
I never heard that one before. What, Ted? This is you're gonna find
based
out.
Based on where you grew up, I know you had to know.
I know. I'm just
I was from West Virginia.
You were like in your 30s.
Yeah. But hey, look, you learn when you learn it. You never know. You know,
don't. Because we were talking about someone.
You should always keep one silk pillowcase at your house, too.
This is a good call. We were talking about one of our coworkers at the time, one of the chicks who worked in sales, I believe, but she had done something with her hair, and you're like, it looks crazy. I'm like, it does look crazy. I'm like, man, I just want to touch it. I'm like, brother, get permission. If you roll up to her and you touch her hair, we are not going to be able to medically help you.
Right.
She will end your life.
Mm-hmm. And some of what people have to say is like no S, but other stuff on here makes sense. And we've talked about a lot of these topics before. Skiing or snowboarding past the out-of-bounds signs. We've had callers that have talked to us about their trials and tribulations, whether being stuck on the side of a mountain.
We worked with a guy that almost died.
That is correct.
Yeah, legitimately.
Here's another one based on experience. What do you know not to F with? Horse girls or women who have an interest in horses. For whatever reason, a lot of people say don't F with them. Again, not listening to medical advice of a professional. I'm a nurse. I've seen many people have horrible lives or deaths because they thought they were smarter and did not listen to their doctor.
Yeah, I've had a few things. Physical therapy. No one enjoys physical therapy. It does suck. My advice to anyone, if the doctor says, hey, it's voluntary, but once a week coming for physical therapy, do it.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely, positively. It sucks. It is not fun, but
just based on my experience, it's worth doing.
Yes. More things that you should know not to F with. According to this thread, tattooed Samoans, 10 out of 10 times are built like a brick S house. Also, women that wear sleep pants and a bonnet in public. Middle-aged men.
That will fight.
With serious tans and dirty clothes, old man strength, and a bad attitude. Another, anyone with a nickname, including a location. Texas Tom, he'll ruin your day. Anyone that walks away from a conversation but tells you to stay right there.
Yeah, come on.
Because they're coming back.
Yeah.
With something to F you up. Another says,
My one cousin did that at his beer garden last summer. It was like a homeless guy or whatever. You know, basically.
Homeless is another one. Do not mess with homeless people.
So the guy's in the beer garden asking people, and then he's like, hey, you can't be in the beer garden going up to the tables.
Yeah.
So the guy gets in his face and this and that, and he says, it's getting pretty heated. And he's like, the guy isn't small, but he's not sure what he's. And he goes, the only thing he could think to do is he was like, all right, you wait right here. And he storms into his office, and he says he's in his office like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do now.
Right?
Like, I've yelled at this guy. What am I going to do? But the guy was so shook, he walked off.
It works. It works.
Garage door springs. Don't touch them. I know. Gas station sushi. Enough said.
Oh, guilty.
Sparklers. I squeezed 5 or 6 together and lit the tip, thinking they would all just light at once and burn down slowly, like one sparkler does. Nope. That S explodes in a 1,000-degree mini fireball. Second-degree burns all over my hand. So, based on experience, what do you know not to F with? 206-803.
Hey, it's Morgan Abshire.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Free Rock.
KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Fantastic stuff. Our question based on experience, what do you know not to F with? F with is the important thing that you say today. I know it might be easy for you to slip there based on your regular dirty language, but not today. So based on experience, what do you know not to F with? 206-803-ROCK.
Couple of quick texts here. I saw an online ad about a Home Depot ceiling fan that has been recalled due to decapitation. Looked up, it was the exact same fan, but it's still up there. Someone says the IRS. Do not F with the IRS. They think that your money is theirs. Right or wrong, do not F with the IRS. Man, Miles and I both got audited, what, like 12, 15 years ago now?
Couple years ago.
Based on the fact that we had an agent at the time, the agent takes their percentage, whatever. That's what this whole thing was about. So they audited me, and I didn't really sweat it because I'm like, I have nothing to hide. To the penny, I've been correct about everything that I've sent you. They've even verified that, but it still drags on and on for weeks. But they start grilling you with questions, right? And I'm a fairly impatient person, and after I've answered your question, we need to move to another question. So this guy kept basically asking the same question with different words. So I'm trying not to get mad, and my wife's like standing in the corner trying to, you know, soothe me down with her hands kind of thing. And I'm like, listen, man, I am trying to be cool because you're the IRS and I know you can F me. He's like, well, sir, our goal is not to F you because you can F me. And you've asked me the same question. I do not know the answer because the question you asked me is, what does this agent do with the money that we gave him? I don't effing know. And this entire effing audit is because of him. So this is my effing advice to effing you, effing call him, and effing ask him what he effing does with the effing money.
And then call me back and let me know.
And I thought, like, because I don't know what he does, and I do not care what he does. And you keep asking me this question, and I'm trying to be cool.
My conversation went like this. If I was smart enough to cheat the IRS, I wouldn't be doing this job.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that if you're that smart and you're that intelligent, you're on a different level of financial knowledge. I am not. So
yeah.
I'm just trying to give you what they gave me and what I have, and that's basically what I have. And you can already look through all my stuff.
You already know.
But I don't want to mess with you. You know, like, it's all there on paper. I don't know what else to tell you. So
it gets very frustrating, but you do have to be decent with
it.
Because they can't screw you. It's like the cop pulling you over for speeding.
Mm-hmm.
You might be in a bad mood. but you can get a warning or you can get a super excessive ticket, so just be cool.
A couple more that are pretty interesting. Due to my time being in the EMS, getting drunk and going swimming. Number one, don't do that. Mixing medications, alcohol, or other drugs. Doing heroin, fentanyl, anything very addictive, nicotine included.
Yep.
Deciding to go cold turkey after being a heavy alcoholic for years.
Really?
They say that that's not a great idea.
You should wean yourself off?
I believe, according to this guy, texting and driving, so many think they can do it.
Come on.
I mean, if you drank every day for a long period of time, I think the withdrawals can almost kill you.
Really?
Damn. Yeah.
Ignoring your body and intuition. Especially maybe you think you might be having a heart attack or a stroke and ignoring it, like my grandmother does. Not having a carbon monoxide alarm in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And another one says, eating another man's French fries. Based on experience, what do you know not to F with? 206-803-ROCK.
Never touch a man's fries. Hello, Zach. Welcome to the men's room.
Boo, bitches.
Boo.
All right. So I got two kind of relating to the exact same thing. When I was a kid, we used to do a lot of trail riding on gravel roads and stuff, and I was on my quad hauling ass down this road, and a 90-degree corner came up, and I slammed on my brakes as hard as I could, and I almost didn't come to a stop before I hit this cliff that was, probably 50 feet. It wouldn't have been good. And then, a little later on in life, as I had already learned my lesson, doing about 60 miles an hour on a gravel road in my Nissan Altima, and it's, probably maybe do 15, 20 on this road usually. Coming up a hill, and there's a turn, and I, again, tried to slow down, couldn't in time, and a telephone pole got me to slow down pretty fast.
Abruptly, I'm guessing.
So this is basically just for you. Don't drive and speed on gravel roads with 90-degree turns in the middle of nowhere. Is that your advice?
The second wasn't a 90-degree turn. It was more gradual, but still just doing that. Yeah, just don't mess around with gravel roads. It's just not the same.
Why were you speeding on the in the Altima? Because you'd already had the experience on the quad, right? So it would just seem like at that point you go, okay, the gravel road, I know better than this. But you decided to do it anyway.
So, let's just be men here. I was pissed off because the guy I was getting my drugs from cut me off, and I went down to his house, and he didn't answer the door, and I left there pissed off, doing too fast on his road.
You know what's sad? I can relate to that. But somehow in my mind, that justifies why you're going 60 miles an hour.
I kind of want to know, what kind of drugs?
Oh, nothing good, Ted. the old... fentanyl pills and whatnot.
So your warning would not be to don't F with that. It would be...
do fentanyl, but don't speed on the gravel road.
Is that what you said?
The gravel road's what got me.
Not the fentanyl.
He's allowed to talk about it.
Still here. Yeah, you're still here.
Telephone pole, by the way, because I didn't have insurance.
Well, another thing. Don't drive
without insurance.
Yeah, there you go. A lot of lessons.
This is a long way to get to don't do drugs, kids.
Right, exactly. That wasn't even going to come up.
I know.
The fentanyl part, not even a part of this story.
But, I mean, he's on the way to buy some drugs. No offense, sir. Of course he doesn't. He doesn't have a license or a registered car.
And what?
My bad.
Okay, so at the end of all of this, what is the final result? You've messed up your car. Did you get injured at all?
I didn't get injured at all. I owe PUD $9,000, which I'm paying off. I'm so grateful for them. They allow me to do a payment plan, $200 a month, which is like 4 years of payments, if you're wondering.
You said this is the PD. And at the same time, obviously you didn't tell them, my fentanyl dealer, he wouldn't answer the door.
And so I spent a night in jail. I learned my lesson. I got off drugs. I'm paying PUD off, and my life is a complete friggin' 180 from what it was.
Cool. Hey, how tough was it to get off drugs, if that's the kind of drugs you're doing?
After I went to jail for a night and totaled my car through, it wasn't hard at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that's the silver lining right there.
Exactly. Look, man, quads are one of the – quads in the top 10 reasons for death in West Virginia, yes. Heart attack is way up there. Believe it or not, people hitting deer while driving, that's another one. But quads are a big thing because it's a very big recreational thing in the area. There's tons of trails and everything else. And just the steepness of the Appalachian Mountains. They're not the tallest in the world, but the relief is fairly quick.
If they're very steep.
They're very steep. And if you happen to go off the side, man, you are off the side of these mountains.
Sure.
I mean, Ozzy Osbourne almost died.
Mm-hmm.
The saxophone player for the Dave Matthews Band, he passed on in an ATV.
Right.
There are so many people who get injured or at a girl in... back then it was a three-wheeler, but I had a girl that I went to school with, and she got caught up in an accident, and the way that the handlebar turned, because, again, it's one wheel in the front, the handlebar kind of turned directly facing her face. And when she slammed into the handlebar, it was sideways, and it went through her eye socket.
Yeah.
So she was out of school for about 8 months before I saw her again after heavy constructive surgery on one side of her face. It took multiple surgeries to get that done.
Yeah.
And a lot of people tell you, hey, man, if you're not used to riding them and speed and all those things, you can take it easy on a tour, but don't think you can open them up if you don't know what you're doing. And always wear a helmet.
But that's true of all things, right? I mean, the three-wheelers, I get. That's not a good idea, right? But with quad, I mean, the same as driving a car, anything.
Yeah.
Right? Until you are comfortable doing this, don't open it up. But one thing we know to be true, it's human nature. You're going to open it up. Right, you get a new. I don't care who you are. You get a new car, especially if it's new to you. It's late at night. There's no cops around. You know you got a long straightaway. I guarantee you, you're taking that bitch up to triple digits.
Yeah. Based on experience, what do you know not to F with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brandon. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Yeah. So I said one thing when I was talking to the guy when I came on here, but for me, it's drinking and drugging.
Drinking and drugging.
I got 9 years clean. I used to be a heroin addict for a long time, and it put me through the whole shebang, man. I went homeless, lost my friends, family, everything, and was sleeping in parks and benches for a long time. Continued to drink for a long time still. And I recently got 11 days sober, but before that, man, I was drinking about a half a gallon a day almost.
And, what was your drink of choice?
Well, I fall on a budget, so Rich and Rare, because it'll get you there.
Okay, yep. So whiskey.
Oh, I hear you, man. I mean, look, I will say this.
Sorry. That I've just never heard that term, Rich and Rare. It'll
it's
get
their,
you there.
It's their slogan.
But, you know, I will say this, man, and when I was homeless, drugs were easy to stop doing just based on affordability, like you're saying, man, but the booze was important to me. Because life sucked, but it just helped you sleep at night, right? And like, I just feel like in that moment, it's tougher to give up booze when everything's bad and you're just in survival mode 24 hours a day. You just want to dull the pain because everything sucks, right? There's no good time. So you just get drunk, pass the hell out. You wake up, get drunk again, pass the hell out, and another day went by, right? And it sucks. Mm-hmm. Now, at least when I get drunk, it is for fun.
Yeah. I told my kids, man, when they were in, you know, junior, seniors in high school, whatever the deal was, I was like, look, I know what you guys are up to. I know what high school kids do. Listen, if you're ever drunk at a party and you need a ride, call me. I will do whatever I'm doing, and I will come and pick you up. And if I'm not able to because I've been out drinking, I will get you an Uber. You know, I will call your mom. We will figure it. No one's going to be mad at you for doing the responsible thing. I also know that you're probably going to experience some drug stuff. And, you know, just same thing, man. If you need anything, call me. Please, no matter what you do, do not, under any circumstances, when you are messed up, either on drugs or on alcohol, start casually smoking cigarettes at parties.
Yeah.
Because that's how I got addicted to smoking. And to me, that was the one thing that, like, look, this is still with me. This is still a habit that I do every single day. It's a tough one to break. You know, I could work harder on it.
Yeah.
But it's still difficult to do.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And that was my one thing. Like, look, I have stopped drinking for periods of time. I've stopped doing drugs for periods of time. I have not been able to stop smoking.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only thing I hang over my kid's head. It's just like, look, you can do whatever you want, guys. Yeah. I don't care, and I can't stop
you. I just say, please.
But do not smoke cigarettes. And even when they ask me, why'd you start smoking? It's like, because I'm stupid. There's no other explanation. I'm like, because I'm a freaking idiot. Now here I am wasting all my money on this crap. Mm-hmm. And sure, I enjoy it, but it's not doing me any good, right? But here it is. I'm like, just don't do it. You can do all the other dumb crap. You're a kid. You're going to do dumb crap. And honest to God, I don't care.
Here
just
few,
don't start smoking.
Well, I think there's a lot of studies that like show like cigarettes are like the hardest to quit.
Yeah.
Cigarette, caffeine. Because there's caffeine and so many things people don't know about. And what is it? I can't remember what it is. But basically, stuff you find in all of your fried foods and all that. But since everybody likes it, they'll never legislate against it. But that's the truth of it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I had a cousin he wasn't like consciously, he just kind of stopped drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple years ago, his wife got on this kick about quitting coffee and caffeine. And he was like, it was worse than trying not to drink.
Yep.
I was really? Like, are you serious? Wow. He was like, yeah. He goes, I was just a miserable D for about 3 weeks.
Okay. I believe it. A few from the animal kingdom, real quick. Dogs. Working in veterinary medicine, I've seen them flip the switch so fast. It's easier for us humans to see them almost as our small children or cute little besties, but you must also remember they are an animal and will act accordingly in a jam, especially if they are stressed out.
I would say also, don't, even if you know the dog and it's generally friendly, if you look at a dog and it's sick, don't mess with it.
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Like, I had a buddy that had a pretty big dog. It was the nicest dog in the world. I remember walking into the shop once, and he was like, he's already a little sick. And I looked at that dog. I was like, ooh, I am not going over there.
The only time, it was an old big shepherd I had, and the only time, this dog didn't even bark. I had to take the dog to the vet to find out if it could bark. Vet says, your dog can bark. Your dog does not care. Your dog's chill. And the dog was very sweet. One day, I threw a stick for him. It was very hot, so his testicles were hanging low. He jumped over this little wrought iron fence. Fence is maybe 3 feet. Jumped over, gets the stick. But when he jumped back, his testicles hit the top of the fence. I mean, you heard it. It's like, pong. And when he hit the ground, man, he went like flat, all four legs out. And I'm kind of smiling because I understand what's going on with him. But when I walked toward him, he looked me right in the eye and was, you know what, dude?
Get away.
All right. Seriously, that's the only time. So I get it. Take all the time you need.
Based on experience, what do you know not to F with? Swans during mating season.
Oh my God.
About a goose on steroids, three times bigger. They've been known to chase down jet skis, knock the driver into the water for getting too close to their nest.
Swans and geese in general, Canadian just stay geese. Away from them, dude. Yeah. They suck.
We found that. I didn't know. I'd always heard their reputation, but we're tripping on Molly or whatever, and down in Portland years ago, me and Migs thought it'd be funny to like chase these geese. There's like 100 of them, right?
Yeah.
And they're all kind of together. We're maybe 50 feet away. So we're like, let's just, kind of like when kids run through seagulls or pigeons at the playground. That's what we thought was going to happen. So we start running over there. And as we're getting closer, I guess all the male geese, I mean, they looked at us, man, and they just charge us. Like straight wings out. And we stopped dead in our tracks, turned around, and hauled ass back to the hotel.
See, growing up in Enumclaw, I went to the, as a kid, we went to the King County Fair. And, right. And they, you know, they've got all kinds of animals that are in and amongst those places in there. And geese were among them in there. This is when I learned not to screw with geese because we were going by, and this is the first time I had ever heard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They hiss, dude.
Yes, they do.
What the hell?
Iguanas. This happened 20 years ago. On a rare cold South Florida morning, my dad, big guy with a soft spot for animals, he found an iguana frozen in our backyard and decided to bring it inside in a closed-off room to warm him up so our dogs didn't get him while he was still in a frozen nap. As soon as that guy warmed up, it was like a bat out of hell. Teeth, nails, tail whipping, cut him up pretty good, bit him. Eventually, he got it out with a broom, and all my dad muttered was, ungrateful bastard. And one more, hippos. I have some extended family who did missionary work in Africa. They told me of someone getting close to a watering hole, and outshot mama hippo, biting the fellow clean in half.
Damn.
Oof. Our question based on experience, what do you know not to F with? 206-803-ROCK.
By the way, quick question. Do you know how fast hippos can run on land?
22 miles an hour.
19.
Okay.
Think about that. Those little stubby, I think people think, all right, I'm safe. They can outrun you. That big fat thing with those stubby ass legs can run your ass down.
Just for reference, Usain Bolt, like noted as one of the fastest guys on the planet.
Clearly.
Fastest human.
27 miles an hour.
Damn.
So he can outrun, well.
He can outrun
the
hippo.
Problem is, though, he runs the 100.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, at what point does the rhino just keep gaining?
The hippo,
or the hippo.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike. I don't think you should be messing with rhinos either.
That's fact.
Mm-hmm. Why, Ted? What's your experience? Looking at them?
Yeah. I saw a guy get gored once.
Oh. Hello, Carl. Welcome to the men's room.
In Jersey.
Hey, aloha.
Hola.
Hola.
So, something you use all the time, one of the things that is literally everywhere, you can find it under the seat of a car and rolling around the back of a pickup truck, propane.
Oh, yeah.
Use it. Don't abuse it. I was a tech for a while. People like to try to DIY propane. Don't DIY propane. This guy decided to put a one of those little fire pits in his backyard, bought the whole little kit, hooked it up to the propane, called us in. I don't know why it's acting this way. The flames were 10 feet tall, supposed to be 10 inches, and Yeah, it was crazy. He just hooked it directly up to the tank.
Jesus.
That is insane.
Yeah, it was. And he's like, and it goes through propane really fast. Well, yeah, you're burning it all right now. And he had a big party. Oh, I want to show off my stuff, right? When he lit it, the propane was coming out so fast, he had like an 8-foot wide fireball that led, that ended up into a 10-foot flame. And, yeah, not something you want to, you don't want to F with that stuff at all. Use it all you want. Don't abuse it.
I agree.
Yeah,
man, even when I just hook it up to the grill, you know, I'm always like, man, oh, man, oh, man. Until I fire the thing up and everything's okay. And I've done it a million times. But I'm always very, very aware.
And the starters never last. Right? So then you
come on, man.
Click. So then you got to get that gas going and kind of lean in with the. Yeah. I feel like it's always like. I would also tell people, too, like, do never. Like, just keep gasoline away from your fires.
Yes.
Like, people are always like, you know, Mike was talking about it last week, and people are like, all right, well, it's like, right, it's the fumes.
It's the fumes. Right. It's not the liquid, man.
There's a lot of, I mean, hell, we had a story, Mike had a story earlier this week about two kayakers. I cannot remember the name of the dam, but they knew the weather was bad. They knew the wind was bad. They knew there were severe thunderstorm warnings and everything like that. The idea between a dam, though, the way they're built, hydroelectric, they suck you down under.
Yeah.
So there's turbines underneath there. It's kind of like getting sucked into the into an engine on an airplane. So the currents just get so crazy around there, you can't really even paddle out. It's like it creates sometimes its own riptide based on how they're letting the water out and the level. Sometimes it's a very slow drip, depending on the water table. Other times when it's been raining and everything else, that stuff is pouring out there trying to get the water level back to normal. So if you are in the midst of one of those types of situations, sometimes they'll let the water out before the actual storm hits in just a brief preparation to get ready for what's coming.
Right.
So that guy, those two guys had to be saved by, and look, there's not the Coast Guard on a lake. You know,
right.
You got to call the local fire, the EMTs, the police, and all that stuff. So another one says, bodies of water in general. A float blew off the back of my boat. Drunk me thought I could dive in and get it. By the time I came up for air, the boat was 50 yards away. And after swimming in a general direction, I was too far from the boat to swim back. I was then rescued by a quick-thinking kayaker. Never again. And people say the same thing about riptides.
You're talking about those turbines. I just watched it. It was on TV last week. One of those, I can't believe I'm still alive kind of shows, whatever the hell it was. And I believe it's an Australian dude, but he and a group of his buddies, they are avid water, not water skiers, what do you call it?
Wakeboarders?
No.
Paddleboarders?
Jet skis?
No, jet ski. Jesus, thank you, man. So they're avid jet skiers. They've been jet skiing all day. And I guess one of the things in the jet skiing world, a feather in your cap, as it were, is if you roll up close to a cargo ship and can lean over and actually put your hand on it. Right? It's just one of those things. And you go like, okay. So he's maybe 30 years old, and he's explaining a story. Man, we've been doing it all day, not touching anything, but just jet skiing. Now they're eating lunch on one of these islands, and they see a cargo ship rolling out of dock. And he goes, look, in your mind, they're going slow and that they're these big lumbering things because they're so big. Well, they're not. So anyway, he gets on his jet ski. All four of them start heading toward the cargo ship. His three buddies peel off going, man, I just got a bad feeling. He's like, but me, of course I got to go out there and touch it. And they kind of recreate it. So he almost touched the cargo ship, but he loses balance, falls off of his jet ski. Then he talks about you don't realize the wake that comes off of something this massive. So he's just spinning around. He goes, then I get sucked underwater. No big deal. Got my life jacket. So I'm thinking, I'm going to float back up to the top. Nothing to panic about. And then I realize those big-ass turbines on the back is sucking me toward this thing. And he goes, it doesn't matter how fast you think they're going. Based on the weight that these things had to propel, you just cannot believe the suction going on. He's like, I am seeing fish. I am seeing pieces of trash fly into this thing and just get obliterated. I mean, like, they're gone, man. And I can't remember what kind of saved him. I think, actually, his jet ski may have... was also getting sucked under, and I think it kind of hit him at the right angle and kind of got him out of the pool. So, but his point was, it's not worth it. He's like, look, I never touched a cargo ship, and now I realize, don't need to.
Nope. Based on experience, what do you know not to F with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hey, it's Morgan Abshire.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.